Hello and welcome back to the Valencia Property Podcast. And before I start, can I just say a couple of things? Firstly, this was going to be a different type of podcast. I went out towards Gestalgar and I was going to record this podcast from the top of a mountain, and I was going to take the drone up and like take a decent picture of me recording the podcast at the top of the mountain. So I went up to Gestalgar and got there, and it started absolutely throwing it down as soon as I got there. So, usual place for today, back in my home studio as it rains outside, and yes, we do need rain, so that's fine. Anyway, next thing. Thanks to everyone who answered our market research questionnaire that we sent out last week. And thanks to all of you who trusted us to get your purchase over the line in the last month. And thanks to everyone who's been asking questions of us in the last few weeks. Your questions help us to focus where we need to help people out, and also to write those long blog posts we put out on a regular basis. This month on the podcast, we're looking at the rental crisis in Valencia and elsewhere, and our new project, Stepping Stone Rentals, to help our clients get a firm foothold in Valencia on arrival and avoid the worst of this rental crisis. Before we get onto that though, let's do our usual look at what we've written on the blog in the last month. As usual, you'll find all the links in the show notes. We started the month with our two FAQ posts, or FAQ me as they were called, with the frequently asked questions we get. Since then we've had some more that I realised I missed out on. Thanks for those. Maybe there'll be a third FAQ me soon, or FAQ me soon. Our next post was all about renovating properties in Valencia, and in it we gave examples of before and after on our renovations in and around the city. It's worth having a look if you're seriously interested in buying a place to do up, because in it we show you what can be done with different spaces. The next post was a bit of a downer for some people, as it talked about the problems with the digital nomad visa and the golden visa in Spain. Of course, there were going to be glitches in the digital nomad visa, and the paperwork is proving difficult, especially for employed people from the USA. The golden visa may also be in its last days, especially with the elections coming up now in July. But again, get in quickly and we should be able to get things done before any changes happen. Contact us on information@valencia-property.com to find out the latest on the golden visa, because you might be listening to this at any stage in the future and things may have changed from what we're going to say, what we said in that article, and what we may say in the future, of course. We finished the month with our post about the eclectic nature of the Valencia property market. One of those things that makes working as a realtor here, the subject of our last podcast incidentally, more interesting. Each day is different and most properties are different, meaning we get to see a variety of things. Now though, onto the rental crisis. Before we do that, just to mention, there is an interview with Jess after this article in which we talk about the real problems associated with rentals at the moment, the changes that have happened in the 20 plus years that Jess has been working in the rental area in Valencia. We produced this article in October and the situation has gotten a whole lot worse since then, as you will see when we get to the numbers involved and how they've changed since October. So we offer a rental service among our many services, and we get many clients wanting to rent a property in Valencia before buying their final property. However, we're currently not taking many new clients for the rental service, as Valencia has had a rental crisis at the moment in the same way that many other cities and countries do. Whether it's pandemic-driven, greed-driven, or for any other reason, Valencia finds itself in a rental crisis, and this is a problem for both the local population and also for anyone looking to move to Valencia for medium or long-term living. We can't charge for a service when we cannot guarantee we'll get a positive result. Well, we could, but we don't do that. Today, therefore, we're going to look at the current situation, the background, and possible opportunities or solutions for this rental crisis. We've been looking at an ever-diminishing supply of rental properties since the end of the first lockdown in Valencia. Well, that's not actually true. The number of properties available for rent was already getting lower before the pandemic due to Airbnb and properties that were previously available for long-term rent being put into the short-term rental sector. However, the pandemic exacerbated the situation when large families realised that being cooped up with their grown-up children for 24 hours a day for months on end wasn't the ideal situation in a world where an airborne virus thrived. Post-lockdown, families decided to liberate their children by either buying them their own place, thus the lowering of properties for sale on the market, or renting a place for their children to live on their own. the numbers of single occupancy apartments has risen greatly post-pandemic. This started the trend, and the continuing influence of Airbnb is also an important factor in the current situation, despite the difficulty in getting a licence for short-term rentals that this town council sensibly imposed in order to control the lack of rental availability. We now have a new town council after the local elections last week, and they are likely to lift restrictions which will make the situation even worse. There's also a problem with empty properties, and this is largely coming from banks and investment funds that bought whole apartment blocks from Sareb, the bad bank, post the 2008 financial crisis, and they leave them empty waiting for the optimal time to sell them on or rent them out. Largely, when they come up for sale, they're sold to people to live in as the banks cooperate with the funds to provide mortgages to people who wish to buy them. Getting a mortgage to loan these places out is more difficult, and as interest rates rise, it will become even less common as the payments from tenants will not cover the owner's mortgage costs. Let's look at the numbers though. Up until a few years ago, you could easily find rental properties in Valencia for under €500 per month. This makes sense as the average wage in Spain is somewhere between €1,000-1,500 a month. The national figures suggest it's much higher, but this is the median range for those people looking for rental properties, younger people in their first jobs. Higher salaried people generally buy property rather than rent in Spain. If we go into the largest portal in Spain, Idealista, and we're going to talk a lot about Idealista in this, and we put in the parameters for searching rental properties in the city, we get 1,253 properties in theory. And in theory means, theory, not practice, because a lot of the listings are repeated listings. If we take out all of those that are €1,000 or more, then we're left with 369 properties in the whole of Valencia. So only 369 properties under €1,000. And remember, lots of these are repeat listings. If we then look at properties under €500, how many results do you think we get? When I wrote this in October, the answer was one property. And that was a total outlier, which should have been at a higher price if compared with all of the others. However, you might struggle to go to the toilet, and if you go back to the article, you'll see why. The answer now is zero. Let's take it up to €600, shall we? Once we do this, we went up to the huge number of seven properties. Two fifth floors without a lift for €590 and €600, two studios of under 50 metres without lifts, and two caves, one of which is 31 metres and the other so bad there are no photos. And of course, our €499 place from before. Now it's four, one of which is 20 metres and another 28 metres. In the range of €600 to €700, and remember, this would be half of the average wage for most young people in Valencia. Well, there are 37 properties, or there were 37 properties when we wrote it. There are now 21. But let's just assume for a moment you need a lift and at least two bedrooms. Suddenly it was nine. And honestly, a couple of them were good. However, none of them were central and most of them were in Benicalap. Now, there's one. One property under €700 with a lift and at least two bedrooms in the whole of Valencia. So essentially, you can't get a property under €700 in Valencia. Let's look what typically gets asked for a rental though. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms with a lift, a terrace, furnished up to €1,000. We'll take out any other criteria. We only get six potential places. And not one of them had a terrace worth writing home about. Four are first floor interior cave type terraces, and the other two on higher floors are very small. Now, there aren't that many less. There are only four. One is good, the other three aren't. Why is this happening? So, firstly, we have to say demand is huge, whether that's from the local market or from people outside Valencia looking to move here due to study reasons, work reasons, or its burgeoning international reputation. Obviously, those who have already arrived have soaked up most of the available properties. Nevertheless, we must look at why there aren't more properties coming into the rental market. It seems logical that if a property is easy to rent out with a huge demand for rentals, then investors should be taking advantage of that fact and be buying places to rent out. I have to say at this point that our clients know this and are buying to rent out. They're also taking our advice from our recent blog post about getting good tenants. However, we're not dealing with a huge amount of investment clients. Our clients are therefore able to cherry pick the best deals and they're renting out straight away. When we wrote the article back in October, we decided to offer investment properties to our clients. We sold about 12 to 15 properties on the back of those of that article, and they all rented out straight away. Spanish people, though, don't generally buy to rent out. There are various reasons for this, but the main one is because they don't want to have to deal with tenants, as they've all heard the story of the tenant that didn't pay the rent, wrecked the place, and was impossible to get out. Yes, all of those things. That tenant doesn't generally exist, but that doesn't stop people thinking that all tenants are like that. Investment funds are often still holding empty properties and waiting for the right moment to release them onto the market, and don't want a tenant in their properties in case they need to sell the property. There are very few whole buildings for sale, so people and funds can't come in and buy these to release onto the rental market. The opportunities for buyers, therefore, are huge. There are major opportunities for buyers looking to buy properties to rent out. Let's take an example. If a buyer wanted to get at least a 6% return on their money, then buying a property at €100,000 would mean an investment of €115,000. Remember the costs on purchase: 10% tax, 3% agency fee, 1% for the lawyer, and 1% for notary, registry and gestor. To get a 6% return on that would require a monthly rental of €575. Do you remember how many properties were for rent for under €600? I'll give you a few seconds. Opportunity knocks. At the time of writing this article, there were 585 properties for sale in Valencia at 100k or under. Now, there are 270. Again, remember, there are many repeat listings and places that need modernisation too, so many fewer in reality. Now, bear in mind that nothing is central, but that doesn't matter, because remember, there's nothing available even in the areas surrounding the centre for under €600. Back then, there were another 288 properties in the band between 100 and 120,000. There are now 170, a 40% reduction. To get a 6% return on 120, total cost around 138,000, you require a monthly rent of €690. Remember how many properties were for rent under €700? And what can you afford to spend if you think the property will return €1,000 per month? Well, you should be looking up to a maximum buying price of €175,000. And for that, you had a choice of over 2,000 properties. Now it's just 1,089, essentially a 50% reduction in 6 months. Choose wisely and you should still be able to get a property that suits this investment profile and manages to give you the return you may require. Solutions to the crisis are few and far between, but our clients are not the solution, unfortunately. They can be part of the solution by investing in properties in the city and renting them out, and usually it's a welcome thing for people to do. The biggest partial solution is government action forcing large holders of property portfolios to rent out their apartments. This should include investment funds, banks, and family offices that hold more than a certain number of properties. However, again, this is not a full solution, because they will be renting at market values which are currently too high for many people. The government has helped by allocating extra help to young people renting their first property for a certain time. However, all this has done really has been to increase the prices asked, as the owners know that younger people will be subsidised. In other words, more money for richer owners. More social housing with fair rents is another option, but that will take a long time to action as large-scale building projects will be needed, which take time and a lot of money. Less greed from owners is an option, but good luck with that one, as the majority of owners want to maximise returns from their investment, of course. Banks selling their huge stock of housing with low interest rate mortgages might help to encourage investors to take on buy-to-let properties, but with interest rates rising currently, that's suddenly become a lot less likely. As you can see, this situation hasn't got any easy solutions as long as demand remains high, and there are no indications that demand is dropping in the near future. You could say, what about the towns and villages around Valencia? Well, as we have pointed out in the past in various of our posts, there are no places where there are a lot of apartments for rent, so there are opportunities in those towns and villages too, and we'll be looking at the best places to invest in those places in a future blog post. So what are the current alternatives? We're talking with our clients on our famous free consultation calls, with which you can do as well, about their options for viewing properties in Valencia. Many of them want to rent a place for a few months, maybe 3 months, while they look for a property to buy. As you can see, this is actually really difficult. If there are few places available for long-term rent, there are even fewer for medium-term rentals. And this is where our new service of Stepping Stone Rentals comes in. So, let's introduce Stepping Stone Rentals. It's a new rental concept for digital nomads, remote workers, Schengen visa holders, and people moving to Valencia to allow them to land with confidence and safety here. Over the last few years, we've been noticing that it's increasingly difficult for people moving to Valencia to find their initial rental. So much so that for a time, we withdrew our rental service. It was difficult even for us to help out. This is exacerbated by the large number of online scams taking advantage of people's desperation to find a rental. We've written about this before too, and you can find that in the show notes. Also, many owners will not take in foreign clients as they cannot be insured. Even when you offer 12 months payment up front, many owners still won't let you rent their property, as they fear what will happen if you stop paying at the end of 12 months. And we're seeing more and more adverts demanding 12 months up front, which is illegal. But if people pay it, owners will ask for it. So here's where Stepping Stone Rentals step in. We wanted to be able to offer a secure service for people moving to Valencia without having to resort to an impersonal, long and often very expensive extended Airbnb or hotel stay, all with the Valencia property guarantee and seal. As a long-established trusted brand in the Valencia region, we wanted to bring that trust into initial rentals. When people land here with just a week in an Airbnb or a hotel, the pressure to find that long-term rental or purchase is high, and many people make the wrong decisions due to these time pressures, landing themselves in unsuitable rentals or worse, trying to buy a property quickly without doing due diligence and more. Let's get rid of that time pressure. Let's get a medium-term rental. Stepping Stone Rentals are hand-picked, fully equipped rentals, initially from a selection bought by our clients to provide this service to our rental clients. Our owners have already been through the process of buying properties in and around Valencia with us, so know the process and the difficulties that you may find. Equally, and very important, because the rentals are for 3 months, they don't require a tourist license because the rentals are done under a seasonal rental agreement, an alquiler de temporada. The initial rental period of Stepping Stone Rentals is 3 months, giving you time to get used to the city and the surroundings and make a more educated decision about your eventual destination. You'll have full information about the property beforehand, and on arrival, we'll have access to fast internet, a welcome basket perhaps, a contact person for help with your settling in, and then support to find your long-term home in Valencia. Internet and utility costs are included in your rental cost. You can even extend your stay to a maximum of 6 months if required and, if available, with a second 3 month contract. Or you can try another area of Valencia and its surroundings on your second contract. You'll be able to upgrade to a more all-encompassing welcome package, including airport or railway station pickup and taking you to your accommodation, initial welcome baskets of food, personal guide for your first few days in Valencia, extend your stay if required, and more. More information is coming in the next few weeks before the launch of the brand new website, which we're working on at the moment. Now, these properties are not luxury properties in many cases, although some most certainly are very well appointed and presented, but they give you an all-in service and a reliable way to make sure your initial period in Valencia is less stressful, more secure, and we give you the help with your onward move too. Priced at considerably less than an Airbnb and other methods of booking, and importantly, with no commissions involved unless you upgrade your experience, and with a secure, guaranteed payment to a recognised and long-established brand and company, rather than to some unknown person you've just met on the internet, Stepping Stone Rentals will be the number one destination for international workers, expats, digital nomads, Schengen visitors and more coming to Valencia and beyond. Yes, beyond. We already have interest in the brand and project from various areas around Spain, and even one nibble from another country altogether, but we'll cross those bridges and opportunities when we get there. Oh, and owners, if you want your property to be included in our portfolio to offer to our highly reliable and growing numbers of clients looking to have access to these type of rentals, then feel free to contact us with details and we'll come and check out your property and suggest what needs doing to make your property suitable and how you can become part of the Stepping Stone Rental community. Anyway, more of that to come, and as we were speaking of rentals, last weekend we sat down with Jess, our rental expert, to look at what's happening in the rental market and also to go through what it's like being a realtor for her in the Valencia property market. So today we're in Ruzafa, which is home of Jess, our rental expert. And we were supposed to be doing this at 10:30, but unforeseen circumstances came along. Do you want to tell everyone about that, Jess?
I went to a 14-hour wedding yesterday.
A 14-hour wedding?
Could have been worse.
What the hell time did you start to do 14 hours?
10.
Right, that's a late finish, isn't it? Yeah. And are you feeling worse for wear, or are you actually feeling okay now?
I'm fine now, thank you.
But you weren't at 10:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so how long have you been working in rentals, Jess, here in Valencia?
About 20 years.
That's a long time.
Yep. So I started off before Airbnb, and a friend of mine who I met working in London, he said he had an apartment here and would I like to try and make him some money. And so I found a website that was a bit like Airbnb and put it on, and the next day I had bookings. So I was like, whoa, isn't this marvellous?
Did he think it was marvellous? Did you make money for him?
He did, yeah.
And so what's been the main changes over that 20 years? And you've already mentioned Airbnb, obviously. So
Yeah. Airbnb came and monopolised the market and put all of the other independent websites out of business, really. Mm-hmm. And so that was the market for a few years. And then after it ruined all the neighbourhoods and only had tourism in the old town and in Ruzafa, then the licences got stopped in 2019. And so that also changed the dynamic again, bringing long-term rentals back into fashion.
And those long-term rentals, we always talk about there's a major problem for any foreigners coming in, and obviously the foreign people are generally our clients. So what are the current problems for foreign people trying to get one of those long-term rentals here?
Well, general problem is that there are very few properties available. A foreigner probably has less problems than a local because they've got a bigger budget. But yeah, people like to ensure non-payment on their rentals, especially Spanish owners. And if you haven't got income in Spain or a year's history of working with Spanish income, then you can't get insured about non-payment. And Spanish owners don't like that.
And they won't take you?
No, they won't.
They won't take you, even if you pay 12 months up front in some cases, yeah?
No. People don't like that either.
They think there's something iffy about that.
Yeah, and I agree.
I'm not sure I agree. I just think I understand why they want it, but I also understand that a lot of owners, they also want a deposit when you're paying 12 months up front, which is a bit mad as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a guy who wanted like a bank, what do you call it, when you have the money put in a bank account?
Oh, a bank guarantee.
But for 7 years.
7 years? Yeah, because loads of people have got like 7 years of money just sitting there in the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mad. So, as you know, we're starting to do the stepping stone rentals, and we've got lots of clients who are interested in putting their property on. How do you think that fits in for our foreign clients?
Fabulous.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, they can take the time, 3 months or 6 months or however long they need, either to find their long-term rental, without panicking when they're here on the ground, because you really do need to be here on the ground to get the good properties that come on the market, because if a good property comes on the market, the next day it's gone.
Well, not only that, it's that I think it helps for the owner to see you, doesn't it, when you're there and see that I've seen this person, I trust that person, because it's not just a foreigner and whatever that brings into their head.
They do have a idea of what a foreigner looks like, and it's generally not our clients, which is a lovely retired couple from the USA.
Yeah. Yeah. Who has definitely got the money to be able to do this. Yeah. Okay, so we'll move off the rentals for a moment and move on to your day-to-day thing. We did this with Paul and with Dave last month, so we thought we'd do everyone. So moving on to you as an agent, what does a typical day look like to you? I mean, obviously a day when you've not got a massive hangover from a 14-hour wedding, but what does...
Which is most days.
Most, not all. Not all. Yeah. But what does a typical day look like to you? What do you do?
Oh, you know, get up, go to the park, do yoga, have cocktails with my girlfriends.
Right, yeah, now that's obviously only Monday to Friday, but on the days you work...
No, I don't do any of that. Normally, I get up, try not to look at my phone before I have coffee or breakfast, because undoubtedly there'll be loads of messages from people who live on all different points of the globe.
Yeah.
Try not to engage with anybody in, you know, like in Hong Kong or in... California.
Yeah, because we get the WhatsApps overnight, don't we, from wherever, and also late in the evening because it's during the day in America at that time.
Yeah, or yeah. Singapore or wherever, it's just not on our time frame.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what I try to do before I have coffee and before I have breakfast, is not engage with people.
Okay, once you start engaging with people after your coffee.
Then, yeah, it depends. If we've got clients on the ground, then... I'll either be meeting them to talk about what we're going to be seeing. I really like doing the first kind of meet-up, when finding out you know, what the clients want, and then in the next few days we go out and see properties that are actually going to be interesting for them. But the most important thing is meeting up and finding what they really are interested in, and not wasting anybody's time, because... that is just something that's very precious to me and to my clients, because they're not going to be here for a year looking around. They're going to be here for a week or something. And yeah, just not wasting time.
We've got to make the most use of that time that we've got with them.
Yeah.
And so while you're doing that, what's the most difficult part of the job for you?
It's like being, I don't know, the psychologist, is like finding out what they actually want.
Yeah.
And they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know what's on offer. So it's combining, you know, local knowledge with interviewing them to find out what they actually want.
Yeah. So that thing about, you know, okay, I want an apartment, it's got to have this and it's got to have these facilities around, therefore the local knowledge is like where you possibly find those facilities within the city. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Or managing expectations and saying...
that isn't going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the most satisfying part of the job?
Finding people a lovely place to buy.
Yeah.
Really is. And it just makes me really happy finding nice people, a place that's really, like, good value for money, and somewhere that they're going to either be really happy in, or that's going to make them money as a rental. Just making people happy. It makes me happy.
Okay, good. And what's the most annoying things that both an owner and a buyer can do?
Oh, there's only one thing that's really annoying.
Which is?
Changing your mind.
Regularly? More than once?
No, deciding if you're an owner that you don't want to sell.
Oh, that, yeah, that yes. And that's happened this week. Let's just say various times, yeah?
Yeah. We've been... quite far down the road in a couple of occasions, and the seller's just gone, nah, changed my mind. And I've been quite far down the line on, I think, three occasions where the buyer has said, nah, changed my mind.
It's unusual for the buyer, though, isn't it? It seems to be more common for the owners at the moment to say, oh, I've decided not to sell because, and then they just make up an absolute bullshit excuse. which you just think, yeah, well, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what they really mean to say is, I think I put it at the wrong price and I can get more for it. Yeah.
Or I didn't actually consult with my ex-husband who doesn't want to sell.
That's another thing as well, of course. Yeah. So how do you find the perfect property? Because if you're starting, for example, and you've got a client who, you've got an idea of what they want, But how do you get from there to the, yeah, this is perfect for this for this client?
I don't think it's very usual to find it like on the first day, but after you spend a day with them, then you get to know them, and then you can tailor the rest of the viewings to these people who you now know and care about.
Yeah.
And that's how you can find something close to perfect, mm-hmm. something that'll suit them at least.
Yeah, because 10 out of 10 perfect is very unusual.
Yeah, I've had lots of occasions where I've had loads of viewings set up. I've met the family or the couple, and I said, no, scrap all that.
Yeah.
You're going to hate it all. We're going to start again.
We're going to start again, and I'll arrange more visits for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah. What does the client need to do in order to be the perfect client for you? And I don't mean just come in with a load of money and spend it, you know. What do they need to provide you with in order to be the perfect client?
Just have their ducks in a row, really, and be aware. It's very easy to be aware of market. Just look at Idealista. It's uh-huh. a very good gauge of what's going on. You know, people come with weird expectations and say, we want this at this price. And I say, well, if you have a look on Idealista mm-hmm. and you can send me something that you think you might be interested at that price,
then
we can go down that road. Otherwise, let's manage expectations a bit here.
Yeah, so give us your must-haves, your would-likes, and your definitely wouldn't-haves, and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I've always said, and we don't do, is that if somebody says, my budget is 200,000, we're not going to show them things at 300,000. We know that other agents do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this managing of expectations is very important, because we expect honesty from the client in the sense of how much money they've got, how much they want to spend, what they want.
Yeah, I had one client. She came in with a budget of 150. And she went, oh, this is all rubbish. And said, actually, can probably spend 400.
That is a huge difference.
I mean, if you say, and she did. She spent 380.
Yeah, if you say, well, I can probably spend 180 when you're on 150, you can understand that they wanted to play the cards close to the chest. But going from 150 to 400, just tell us the truth to start off with, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
it didn't take her very long to come up with the truth after she'd seen two terrible apartments at 150.
But those apartments weren't necessarily terrible. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But they were wrong for her because of what her expectations were, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the one thing you would say to anyone who's coming over in the near future then?
What I always say, read the blog.
And apart from that?
Get here as quick as you can, because we're running out of properties to sell and to rent.
That's so true. And because we're running out of properties to rent, buy a property and let us rent it out for you, and you'll rent it out, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so if you come over here and you decide to use our rental service to start off, or the new Stepping Stone service, you'll probably get to meet Jess and use her expertise. But equally, if you're going to buy a property and you're thinking of renting it out, Jess might well be with you as well in order to actually say, yeah, this one will work really well, because we know we've got a lot of clients for that type of property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are specific properties that work, and there are specific price ranges that work for rentals as well. If you go too low, then you can't get renters, and if you go too high, then it just doesn't work as a sweet spot for getting return on investment. But that's something that we're very focused on.
Yeah.
And getting the best return on investment, if that's what you want.
Okay, perfect. Till the next time, Jess.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Jess. And if you decide to use our rental service, you'll probably get to meet Jess and use her expertise. For now, though, that's almost enough for this month. Just to recommend our favourite article, our favourite video, and our favourite property from the month. My favourite article was the one showing our renovations in Valencia, the before and after of them. It's so satisfying to get to the end of a project and show it off, so we thought we'd do a few. You can see it at the link in the show notes. My favourite video, again, was James Blick, who this month talked about what it was like being a veteran immigrant into Spain. What happens when you get past the honeymoon stage? Is it still worth living in Spain? Take a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the link is in the show notes, of course. And my favourite property? so many to choose from this month, as I said in the article about the eclectic or diverse nature of the Valencia property market. But I think my favourite was, and is, the house overlooking Cullera Bay. You can see at the link in the show notes. For under £300,000, you get great views, the seaside, outside space, light, lots of inside space, and a feeling of freedom. You even get a lift opening out into your living room directly from the garage. It's superb. Take a look at the link. And that's it for this month. We hope you'll enjoyed this, and if you're interested in either being one of our tenants in the new Stepping Stone Rentals or putting your property with us in order to manage it, get in touch and we'll get in touch with you and find you your perfect property for at least 3 months in Valencia, or the perfect tenant for your property in Valencia. Speak soon.